Bible is a marvelous book. I have about 10 or 12,000 books in my library. If I had to go on a long trip and I could only take one thing with me, it'd be my Bible. It's got a lot of good advice in it. Most of it gets ignored. It gives to God's people many good examples to be followed. The faith of Abraham, the humility of David, the power of John the Baptist, the courage of the Apostle Paul, the charity of Rahab. It also gives us many other examples to be carefully avoided. You don't want to be like Herod. You don't want to be like Jezebel. You don't want to be like that man who tried to buy the Holy Spirit. And because of the idolatrous practice of Mariolatry in the Roman Church, most Christians have missed the glorious example of Mary. She was the earthly mother of Jesus. There's no mother who could be a more marvelous example than was this espoused bride of Joseph. On this Mother's Day anniversary, I want to bring you a message, if God will help me, that I have titled simply, A Marvelous Example. The three or four things that I want to show you from this passage of Scripture. First of all, we need to consider the service of Mary to her glorious God. Now it tells us in verse 28 that Mary was a devout worshiper of God. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed be art thou among women." She was a woman that loved God. We don't know much about her. We don't know much about her family. We don't know much about her background. Probably from a poor family, engaged to a young carpenter by the name of Joseph, looking forward to being married and having a happy relationship. But she worshiped God. She was a young woman that was pure. She was pure in mind. She was pure in soul. And she was pure in body. She was a woman who lived in humble dependence on the Lord. Look at verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Do you believe that? It's important that you do. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, people live who others say should die. With God, those die who others say should live. With God, all things work together for His glory and the good of His people. This woman was cooperative, and she was willing to come God's way. Look at verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever God wants to do, that's okay. Do you understand how few people really feel that way? Most people, if you want to do it, Lord, and it suits me, it'll be okay. But what if it doesn't suit you? What if it doesn't suit you? One of the things I've learned as I've gotten older is to trust God. Whatever happens. She was a woman that was obedient and submissive to God's will. Whatever the Lord told her, she was okay with that. I think there's a lot of things about Mary that people forget. We say this so casually that she was a virgin. And when the angel told her she was going to have a baby, she said, "How can this be? Because I've never known a man." And yet God told her, "You're going to have a baby." I'm sure she wondered, how's this going to happen? What are people going to say? You always remember these crazy little things you got in the back of your head. When my wife and I got married, she had a couple of relatives that counted the days to make sure that she wasn't pregnant at the time. After 2 years, they figured out maybe she wasn't. But Mary said, whatever God wants to do. Whatever he wants to do. She was a woman who had a grateful heart. Look at verse 46. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She said, "I'm happy in the Lord. Happy in the Lord." I know a lot of religious people aren't happy in the Lord. They aren't happy in the Lord. They're not happy out of the Lord. They're not happy at all. She was a woman of discipline and self-control. Verse 48 says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." The only thing she thought about was, whatever happens now, in the future, God and his people will call me blessed. And we do. And we should. Mary was not a saint. She was a sinner like all the rest of us. She was not somebody to be worshipped or bowed down to. She was a woman that God chose, probably only 14 or 15 years old. That was the age when most Jewish women got married. And she had gotten engaged to Joseph, and yet God came and said, "We'll do something special with you." Now, everybody wants God to do something special with them, but be careful about that, because sometimes when God does something special, it's really special. I think we ought to take a notice of the beautiful example of Mary and her service to God. She displayed a positive response to God's sovereign plan. Look at, again, verse 38. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of thy Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever you want to do, Lord, that's okay. Now, do you say that? How often do we, when God shows us something, we say, "You sure me? Couldn't you do that to somebody else? Let me have an easier track. Let me have it made a little better. Let me not have these problems." Sometimes Jimmy's cows get out looking for green grass. I'm sure he thinks, "Why don't y'all stay in where you belong?" I've done that, Jimmy. You're not the only one. She sought the company of another woman that was wise and blessed. Verse 39 tells us, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of of Judah. She went to see the mother of John the Baptist. This woman who had been barren most of her life, and now in her old age, she's 6 months along in delivering a miracle child. She believed God's word, and she bowed to his commandments. Look at verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. She said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. Whatever the Lord told me is going to happen. And you who are God's people, I tell you and assure you that if God tells you something's going to happen, it's going to happen. You say, but what if it rains? It doesn't make any difference. Well, what if I have a wreck on the way there? It doesn't make any difference. Well, what if my third cousin dies? It doesn't make any difference. If God tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it when he wants to. He's going to do it how he wants to. He's going to do it with who he wants to. Mary praised God for his goodness and his grace. Verse 46 through verse 56, and I won't take the time to read all that. Read it. It's one of the most beautiful songs in the Bible. She rejoiced that God was pleased to touch her and bless her in this miraculous way. And she worshiped the God of Israel. Verse 49 tells us, he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Do we love God? She embraced and adored God's mercy to her. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm getting to be an old man. And I've known God for almost 50 years. Over 50 years, actually. And I can tell you that for 5 decades of my life, God's always been with me. He's been with me in successes, and he's been with me in failures. He's been with me in health. He's been with me in sickness. He's been with me in life, and he's been with me in death, and everything in between, because he's faithful. He's faithful. She also rejoiced in the assurance of divine help to assist her. Look at verse 54. He hath holpen his servants, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. He helps his servants. When nobody else will help you, God will help you. When nobody else has an answer to your questions, he has the answer. When nobody else has a solution for your problems, he is the solution. He's the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now this woman also had some suffering that was designed for her. Now, people don't like to hear that. They don't like you to talk about that. They don't like you to deal with it. But the truth of the matter is, this book assures us that it is God's intention and God's plan that you endure some suffering. That's part of life. We have this vision in our mind that if we're good people and we polish our shoes and comb our hair and eat the right kinds of Tootsie Roll Pops, that we'll never have a problem. You won't find any of those people in the Bible. They all had problems. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. You know how he got to be called that? Because he lied so much and deceived so many people that God worked on his heart and showed him what faith was, made him faithful. We talk about David, the sweet singer of Israel. You know how he got to be the sweet singer of Israel? Because he lied and he cheated and he committed fornication and he acted insane. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had some problems too. She had to deal with the pain of pregnancy and childbirth. When I was a kid, most of the women in my family bred like flies. Somebody was always pregnant. But I never paid much attention to it. And when I got married, and Patty and I decided to have a child, I didn't know what a woman went through. Especially a big old girl. If you're going to get pregnant, don't get pregnant in August. It's too hot and you sweat too much. But pregnancy and childbirth are not pleasant experiences. You may look forward to the baby and be excited about that. You know, we had moments when we were encouraged and thrilled by things. But there were times when she was so sick. When David was born, she was in labor for 39 hours. And they dislocated her hip to deliver him. And she walked crippled for 2 or 3 years after that. I'm not sure she planned on that. Mary was a young girl, like I say, probably 14, 15 at the most. And she was going through something that she'd never gone through before. She had to endure not only that, but she had to endure the mental pain of understanding God. And I'll tell you, God's a glorious being, but I tell you, sometimes he's hard for us to understand. We have these little peanut brains that don't work like his does. And sometimes when God tells us things, they're hard to understand and they're hard to believe and they're even harder to practice. And when God told this woman that this was going to happen, he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Visit you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. That's in Luke chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. Here was this boy, 12 years old, son of Mary, and he's sitting down with the doctors and lawyers and the Pharisees, and he's debating theology with them and making them look like fools. And they can't figure it out. Well, I'll tell you something. If you deal with God, he will do things that you won't understand. You won't understand them right then, and you may not understand them for years, and you may never understand them in this life. But I assure you that he does what he does for your good and his glory. This woman was compelled to deal with the critics of her pregnancy. She and Joseph were espoused. They were engaged. Now today, people have babies like having pups and they don't think anything about it. But I'll tell you, in biblical times, it was a serious matter. Women were stoned. And Joseph went about to rid himself of Mary. He was an innocent young man. Pure young man. And here was this woman that he'd given his love to and he'd committed to marry, and all of a sudden he finds out she's pregnant. And he's trying to put her away privately, but he's going to put her away until God comes and says, "It's my business." She's faithful to you. And there were other people who were critical. She had to deal with the grief of being rejected by her family. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Here's this young man she's committed her life to, her love to, her commitment to. He's going to put her away. Some of you ladies know what that feels like. Mary had to deal with the animosity of God's enemies. In Matthew 2:14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. The enemies of God wanted to kill her. They wanted more to kill her son. And they were committed to do so. And so in the middle of the night, they leave Israel and they flee into Egypt. She dealt with the anguish of the community rejecting her dear son who she loved. Luke chapter 4 verse 28 says, "All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." He was just getting started in his ministry and they wanted to murder him. He'd done nothing but heal people and tell them God's truth and set a worthy example. And they hated him. Imagine what a mother feels like. I've had things with my children. You've had things with your children probably when somebody mistreated them unfairly and unrightly. And it breaks your heart. See your children weep tears. How can this be? How can this be? Mary also had to deal with Jesus' trial, with his afflictions, with his crucifixion. John 19:25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." Jesus is about to die. But he didn't forget his mama. He says to John, "That's your mother. Take care of her." And then there's the glorious worship of Mary's chosen vessel. She worshiped God as a young virgin in Nazareth. One of the things that troubles me most in life is the departure of young people from our churches and from faithful religion. They go where they're gluing dollars under the seats and feeding them bologna sandwiches and potato chips after the service, but they give them nothing in the service. And that troubles me greatly. I preach all over this country and I go in a lot of churches and almost all the churches are full of gray-headed people. Must be something we dye our hair with, I don't know. But there's very few young people. She worshiped God as the vessel that he had chosen to bear his son. You imagine what she felt like. Here I am, I'm 15 years old, and I'm going to have a baby, and I've never known a man. And who's going to believe this? But I'm God's servant, And I bow to that. She worshiped God as Jesus grew up and developed in his life. She saw him as a little boy in the carpenter shop with Joseph, learning to use a plane and a saw and a hammer and build furniture. She saw it on that journey to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old, when he sat down with the doctors of the law and he confused them all with his godly wisdom. She saw it when he left home at age 33 and began to preach the gospel. She worshiped God as she viewed the ministry of our Redeemer. He came to blind men and said, "What do you want?" They said, "I want to see." He said, "See." He came to dead men and touched them. He said, "Go home, take care of your mama." He came to a woman with an issue of blood for almost 20 years and said, "Nothing." But she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. He came to those who were crippled and had never walked and made them leap and run. She rejoiced in it. That's what mamas do. She rejoiced three years later when she sat in an empty tomb in Gethsemane and heard the caretaker say, "He whom you seek is not here. He's risen." I've been there. I've sat in that place. It's got a special feel to it. She prayerfully awaited the Spirit that Jesus had promised. He said, "When I leave, I'm going to send a comforter. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to comfort God's people." And he's still sending him. He comes to us. In moments of despair and moments of uncertainty and moments of frustration. Say, how do you know that? Because he comes to me. I lay in that hospital one night and I prayed half the night. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to live or if I was going to die. I prayed for God's will to be done. I prayed if it was his will to take me that he'd send you a pastor that would preach the gospel and keep you faithful. But I trusted him. At 4 o'clock in the morning, he sent a comforter and closed my eyes and I slept like a baby. He had to wake me up, take me down to run another test on me. Her faithful example pointed others to her beloved son. He was the savior of sinners by God's free grace. She stood and watched them crucify him. She stood and watched them bury him. She stood and watched those Jews guard his tomb. And she stood and watched the angels as they declared that he was gone. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I tell you, there's no better example for God's saints in 2018 than Mary, the mother of Jesus. No better example. Her faith in God was the foundation of a special life. Special life. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That's Mary's testimony. Mary's heart was constantly in tune with the Father and his world. I'm 15 years old. I've never known a man. And I'm going to have a baby. How can it be? It can be because God wills it. And God willed you. She saw God's will as something good to be enjoyed, not some harsh fate to be endured. I'm amazed, and I pray, oh God, don't let me do this. When people who have been known to be religious folks and Christian folks, and it comes time for them to be sick and it comes time for them to die, and they complain constantly, oh God, why me? Because he's God and it's your time. Her holy life encourages us with an example of purity, with an example of prayer, with an example of piety, and with the participation in God's blessed will. Lord, be unto me according to thy word. Mary is a good example. I pray for you ladies that are here, you mothers especially, that God has done so and will continue to do so to make you an example to the people who live in your community and in your families, that you might glorify God in all things. Amen.